All right, picking up from the first slide on the tape, where I was so rudely cut off by the end of tape. okay, so the relationship of the other characters to the primary character as he moves through his acts in that very specific order will create thematics by either enhancing or diminishing a certain area by creating interplay to explore his position as the primary character more fully. This is what ultimately leads to subplots, and it also has a bearing on scenes and how they are created. But if you have a primary character who is in pursuit, and then in the next act he's going to move to support, if he's in pursuit in the floating set, and everyone around him is also in pursuit, then you have no conflict in between him and everyone else at that point. You can show that he's definitely at that point and explain what that part of the overall mind picture is, but it doesn't bear any further exploration. If he moves into support and everybody stays with him and also moves to support, then you again don't have any conflict in that area and no real means to explore that aspect of support. But if he's in pursuit and everyone is in pursuit with him, and he moves to support and they stay in pursuit, or they move to oppose, then all of a sudden you have dramatic tension potential between his position and other people's position, excuse me, and you can begin to explore that more fully, which is one way of looking at what happens in terms of thematics. Now, thematics are really a very complex thing because they are a range between the universe set and the mindset. They are where the two perspectives of the problem meet and interplay. If you have a physical problem and you have a mind problem and you're going to be bringing them together, the only reason you can bring them together is because it's really the same problem. It is a dilemma that is the differential between the mindset and the physical set. When you look at the mind and physical sets from the outside perspective, they are both mobile. They are both moving because you can latch onto anyone and see it as fixed. Now, from the perspective of primary character, one set will be locked in and saying arbitrarily, we're going to pick the mindset and use that as our yardstick and let the physical set float, or the other way around. When you do that, you've made a decision as an author as to the type of film you're going to have. There is really only one set of white elements. That one plane that is the interface between the blues and the yellows, between the physical and the mental. Even though there is one set, when you're dealing, again, with keeping one thing fixed, something else looks like it's mobile. If you want to look at the mobile relationships of the white set, of the white elements, then essentially you're going to fix the blues on one side and fix the yellows on the other, and you're going to be able to watch the whites spin around in the middle. When you're doing that, you are then saying, we're going to look at the mobile set of whites. That will relate to one of the problems. And so you take the yellows and you take the blues and you put them in your nodal point positions that we have arranged on our chart. And keeping them there, since each yellow and each blue is either created from or creates the four elements of the whites, they are tied specifically to those white elements. And condition, for example, will always be tied in with reality, perception, inequity. And superego will also be tied in with the same whites. They will not move. When you lock the yellow and the blue with that white arrangement, then you can look at, in terms of the blue being fixed, if you've said that's going to be the fixed set as an author, you can see no movement in the whites. Then you look at it from the yellow perspective and say, now if we fix that yellow perspective, we'll look back and see things moving in the whites. And that's how we get the white movement. Obviously, that's fairly complex. You're mixing your fixed and you're floating all over the place, but it is consistent. When you want to see what's happening at the thematic level of the story, because the floating and fixed structural elements create the thematics create the floating and fixed structural elements, but they're not creating a specific arrangement. They're merely creating what sets you have to play with. And when you create a structural set, you have then limited what you can do in terms of thematics without violating the greatest possible potential as a story. If you go into your thematics and you pick a set to deal with, you have then limited what you can do structurally to an extent. And so each one limits the other, but does not specifically determine the other. When you have now said, for example, if you start as an author from a structural base, some will start from structural and some will start from thematics. Other places are possible as well, but if you pick a very large level and say we'll start structurally, then you take the yellows and the blues and leave them where they are in their nodal point position, and you go through and have one fixed set from reference to the blues and one floating set from reference to the yellows. When you go on to your thematics, then you will rotate the blues in reference to the yellows or the yellows in reference to the blue. Which one you choose to look at as staying where it is determines which set is fixed and is also determined by which set is fixed. So if you say we're going to have a fixed mindset, you're essentially saying the blues are going to stay in their nodal point position, and we're going to look at the whites in terms of the blues in terms of the potential resistance, current, and outcome. Then you have determined that you are going to, on the chart, move the yellows in reference to the blues. Those yellows, again, may be flipped and they may be rotated. And when you do that, you end up with different matchups between the blues and the yellows. The whole quads will move all together. The whole quads of four blues or four yellows could be mobile. If you move the four yellows around at the largest level, then there will be a new set of four yellows matched with four blues, is the end result. When you have done this, you can then go within the level of the yellows, and you can flip those from one side to the other. You can do the diagonal flips, and you can do a rotation within that quad of four yellow elements. And this will make up an even more unusual arrangement between the yellows and the blues, creating more unusual thematics. Completely valid, but just not the ones you most frequently see, because it's a more complex arrangement. Complex arrangements, as a little side note, are valuable in making something interesting and fresh, but they also require more effort on the part of the author, because the arrangements that are not as unusual, not as complex, have more conventions in storytelling that allow you to, in shorthand, get the idea across without as much exploration. And so, if you are not concerned so much with thematics, and you are more concerned with dealing with structure in your piece, you may wish to elect a very low thematic complexity by having a more ordinary arrangement of blues to yellows, and in that way, diminish the effect of thematics and concentrate on the structure. That is what you very frequently will see in a simple action picture, where you're looking at the difference between mind and universe as being a primary concern, and the specific nuances of how this fits in to a global view of all of us in our world at that larger perspective of the audience and the author and the real universe, keep that as the minimum. If you're really concerned with telling a story, of course, about how the author and the audience and the universe and all of our minds collectively and individually interrelate in real scenes and want to deal with those thematics, then you may wish to come up with a more complex thematics and just do lip service to the structure in order to concentrate on that thematic aspect. One way of looking at thematics is that when you start dealing with the mobile sets of whites and the fixed set, you have two sets of whites. That's the easy way to look at it. You're looking at them as actually having a yellow set of whites and a blue set of whites. But when you deal with thematics, you have a single set of whites. Now, if you keep the blue set fixed in terms of thematics and move the yellows, then all of a sudden you're going to be dragging a yellow, for example, strategy. And you could take that strategy and you could move it all the way over to where state of being is on the blues. And suddenly, instead of having a relationship between state of being and it, which are essentially the same thing, one seen from the inside, one seen from the outside, now you have a relationship between state of being and strategy. Well, if you have a relationship between state of being and strategy, you can look at it as, since you're having a fixed mindset, you look at it from the perspective of the mindset or from the blue, and you say the state of being of knowledge leading to a strategy. You're not evaluating the mind, you're evaluating the floating yellow set, floating physical set. So you're saying, my state of being of knowledge, how does strategy compare to the state of being of my knowledge, or the knowledge of my state of being? How does it compare? It's going to be moving. Your knowledge of your state of being and your state of being of your knowledge will be things that are remaining the same, but it is the strategy that's going to appear to be changing. The relationships between these things sometimes create very interesting ones. If you go on a very simple level and take morality and move it over to where self-interest is, and self-interest down to morality where it is, if you just flip those two yellows in reference to the blues, suddenly you have a commitment to pursue morality, for example, and that commitment to pursue reality creates a rationalization, essentially, of your self-interest. So a commitment to morality creates a rationalization of your self-interest, just comparing the blues and yellows, not getting into the whites at all. Commitment to morality creates a rationalization of your self-interest, or a commitment to your self-interest, if you haven't flipped them, creates a rationalization of morality. Now, a commitment to self-interest creating a rationalization of morality is the nodal point position, and the thematics are very, very null at that point. They are just the normal arrangements of those things. But when you go in to mixing and matching, then you can look at a commitment to pursue morality, a commitment to avoid morality, a commitment to support morality, or a commitment to oppose morality. You can look at that a rationalization of disbelief in your self-interest, a rationalization of faith in your self-interest, a rationalization of conscience applied to your self-interest, or temptation applied to your self-interest. These things will give you more variety in your thematics at an even more complex level, and different characters, depending on whether they are agreeing with you or disagreeing, can be there or not there to exemplify an aspect of that. For example, if you have a commitment to pursue morality, you do not necessarily have to have a character as a commitment to avoid morality. When you're dealing with the thematic range, you don't have to explore all of them like you do in terms of the primary character's two sets. And all you need to do is indicate how the blues have matched up in relationship to the yellows, and that creates your broad thematic perspective. Then within that, you may explore that to varying degrees, depending on how well you flesh out the relationship of a commitment to morality in terms of pursuit, avoid, support, and oppose. And you may choose to or not to look in terms of the rationalization of self-interest in terms of disbelief, conscience, temptation, and faith. Now, we are still at the stage of working out the exact specifics of what these names of various thematics are by moving blues in relationships to yellows and yellows in relationship to blues. And, of course, I just covered it from the perspective of keeping the blues where they are. But if you have a story where you have a fixed physical set and a floating mind set, then in that case, you'll keep the yellows where they are and rotate the blues. And that's read differently because you're taking a different perspective, and that matters in terms of thematics. So it's really two items there. Which one is going to be moving and how they're arranged, and then from that perspective, what the whites are going to look like. And that view will change depending on which one is moved in reference to the other, because the one that stays keeps its whites and the other one loses them and just drags itself over there. That is also something that must be resolved into a viewpoint that the author holds. It is not something that has to necessarily return to a nodal point perspective. And the premise that we always hear so much about is dictated by looking at these arrangements in terms of potential resistance, current, and outcome. And when you look at something in the upper left-hand quad of 16 whites, and it's in the upper left-hand quad of 4 whites, and it's in the upper left-hand element of all 4 white elements, and you deal with the thematics at that point, by simply positioning it in that place, you have determined that that is going to be the potential of potentials of potentials. And essentially, that relationship between the rotated yellows or blues up in that upper left-hand corner with that one specific white element will be the nature of the premise. This is how premise relates to thematics. Obviously, if you are not violating your diagonals when you have picked in your upper left-hand quad of 16 whites, when you pick the one element that's going to be in the upper left, within that quad of 4 whites, you're going to have another element automatically picked that will be in the outcome position of that quad of 4 whites in terms of that morality. And if someone is going to, in terms of that thematics, that premise. So if you have a premise at one point, the potential is going to be at the opposite point of that set of 4 white elements. And that is where somebody would have to shift.
White elements.
Right, white elements. If you're looking in terms of, as we said the other day, the process of justification and how that will end up unbalancing a set of 4 whites, for example, with another set of 4 whites, so that you have one unbalanced and to keep that in an unbalanced state but not be aware of the inequity, you'll go across the X and take the next 4 whites in that set of 16 and unbalance them as well. Then when you do that, you end up with a thematic arrangement when you're looking at the yellows and the blues, so that whatever the thematics are that are dealing in that upper left-hand quad, the potential of potentials of potentials, wherein is contained the premise element, then you're going to find that there is a thematic outcome down in the quad of 4 whites in the lower right-hand corner. And so you actually have premise and its potential resistance, current, and outcome, and theme and its potential resistance, current, and outcome. Again, each time you pick one thing, and you can start anywhere, you're limiting the set of what you will be able to deal with for the other levels, but not picking the specific arrangement of those 4 items. So, we're still working on that one, but that is how the thematic section is working. We don't have it all completely defined as to the exact names of the elements and content yet, but they exist between the physical problem and the mental problem. And the final way that I'd like to suggest of looking at it is that if you take the plane of 64 elements on the physical problem and the plane of 64 elements on the mental problem, that they're going to connect at one corner at one element. And essentially, if you look at one as being vertical to the other, so that you have these two...
Perpendicular
to the other. So that you have these two planes intersecting perpendicularly at one element, then it's the range between the two arms of this V, as it were. It's the space in between that forms the thematic area which you may explore. You must, in order to get to that point of intersection, you start at the farthest point on one plane from that intersection and the farthest point on the other plane, which are like at the ends of the V. And by exploring through the linear orders that we have worked out, you end up working closer and closer and closer along that V, getting to the point when you finally intersect at the moment of decision. At that point...
Or action.
At that point, the primary character knows all that he can know about the nature of the problem in his fixed set by having explored everything that is in the mobile set. And that's where he must make a decision to either throw it right back down the line into justification again, or to deal with the problem here and now. That area in between, then, is the thematics. And the thematics gives you the broadest area of exploration at the beginning of the film. And the thematics become more narrowed in what you can deal with as you progress towards that point of intersection. So that by the time you reach that point of decision, your thematic options are much more limited. They're limited down to 0 at that point of decision. Again, we don't have it completely worked out in terms of how to use that yet, but conceptually, we're pretty sure that's the way it all works. So that, again, for a lot of authors, for myself, for example, I would prefer to be concentrating on telling the story from my thematics, on the internals. And since I know those thematics will ultimately determine the nature of the structures on either one of those planes, as long as I know what my limitations are in terms of how I can move and mix and match things, what I can be talking about thematically without violating our greatest dramatic potentials, and what I can't be talking about and in what order, then I can start dealing with the pieces of thematic piece and just have things happen and attitudes struck by people in the mindset, for example, and have them work out properly because I use the proper thematics in the center. It gives you a whole new way to approach storytelling without violating structure, or a whole new way to approach dealing with thematics that may be confusing to an author by starting from structure and then seeing where to go from there. God.